But what I didn't realize is great marriages are built, not found. Nobody gets abs by accident. Nobody becomes financially successful by accident, really. And no one builds great marriages without intentionality. We have as an intentional plan to build our marriages we have for our money and for everything else God's put in our stewardship. And I just encourage you, if you don't have a sophisticated plan that you can tour America and they'd be surprised on, why not?
You'll get to hear more from John and Ashley Marsh on this episode of the FCCI Pathway to Purpose podcast. We had a chance to sit down with the Marshes during the FCCI International Conference at Dove Mountain in Tucson, Arizona. You don't want to miss the incredible insights that both John and Ash have on how to create a healthy marriage relationship that really can flourish, even under the overwhelming stress of business operations. And even when that means working together in business. Now, if you find that hard to believe, please stay tuned. But before we dive into the additional content, I want you to be aware that if you're catching this podcast prior to October 17th of 2023, then you'll also want to register for our free monthly webinar. And we're looking forward to our Tuesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Eastern Time webinar on the 17th, Tuesday the 17th, with Colby Gilmore of Ronald Blue Trust. Colby will be delivering a webinar entitled Three-Dimensional Generosity, encouraging business owners to develop a three-dimensional business generosity plan of financial, social, and spiritual value. Colby works with entertainers and creatives in the film, TV, music, and social media sectors and lives in the Nashville, Tennessee area. And I've had the privilege of spending many hours with Colby over the past year in an FCCI group. And I'm confident that this webinar will deliver tremendous value. Again, it's free. Just register soon and plan to join us on October 17th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for the live webinar. And come prepared to ask your questions and get real-time feedback from Colby. You can find a link to register in the podcast show notes. And you can also access all our previous webinars, our podcast, through our YouTube channel. So just type YouTube FCCI Official in your favorite browser search bar and just follow the links that come up there. And now before we hear from John and Ash, let me encourage you to follow another link in the show notes for our International Conference Video Showcase. You can register for free access to the keynote presentations, the breakout sessions, the daily devotionals that were shared from Mike Blackaby. So take advantage of that, register, and gain access. So as I pull up the Marsh's conversation from the conference here and on our podcast today, let me encourage you to follow another link in the show notes to the YouTube version of this podcast. So you can watch the video version and then you can see the PowerPoint visuals that they'll be showing from their talk during the conference. Enjoy this conversation with John and Ashley Marsh of the Marsh Collective, the Redemptification Podcast. And yes, you can find a link to the Redemptification Podcast in the show notes as well. We do try to make things easy here at FCCI. Enjoy John and Ashley Marsh.
Well, I first thought marriage was about sex and supper. And there's a lot more to it than that. Now, that was an indicator that something's going wrong if those things weren't working out. But what I didn't realize is great marriages are built, not found. Nobody gets abs by accident. Nobody becomes financially successful by accident, really. And no one builds great marriages without intentionality. We have as an intentional plan to build our marriages we have for our money and for everything else God's put in our stewardship. And I just encourage you, if you don't have a sophisticated plan that you can tour America and they'd be surprised on, why not? Why not make the person that means the most? I love what a friend of ours said recently, Steve Garber, who wrote the book Visions of Vocation. He said, marriage is the prism that God gave us the chance to see life through. And I tell you, it's one of the great blessings God let us take from the garden and bring here. So it's a privilege to be married. And if you want to have a great marriage, you better learn how to work on it intentionally. It's got to be on purpose. And for a husband, I mean, to wash my wife with the water of the word and present her back to myself. And so what you see here today is a lot of washing. I done a good job. Man, I got a dang great wife that I love being with, and it wasn't that way. To the degree you love someone is the degree you can hate them. And some of you may not know that. But we have a marriage that was lost and found. And something that's lost and found can be more precious than something never lost.
I have my answer.
Oh, well, let's go there.
To be present. Mm-hmm. I think John and I master, like you say, our time, and we might have time to show a slide of our annual calendar, which is a masterpiece of a spreadsheet.
However, oh, I love it.
However, that is actually to keep us accountable to what God has entrusted us with. He's entrusted us with his time and his money. And so we take that very seriously. But sometimes we can get so caught up in making sure that we're even balancing all that, that we forget to be present. And so I would highly encourage everyone just to make sure you're present today with your spouse and with your children and the people that you love and that you want to do good work with.
And I think that goes into also the margin that you create in your life, because you shared a story not long ago of you found yourself in a situation where your mom needed some more time. And you had that because of that calendar and you had planned for it. Could you speak a little bit about how presence is planned?
So we all have the same amount of time, right? We none of us get to manufacture any more than 24 hours a day or 168 hours a week or however many ways you want to split that up. It's the same for all of us. And I believe that intentionality, like John was talking about, we're just most of the time not very intentional with what we're doing with our time. And so we think that we have no time, right? But I challenge you. I challenge every person in this room that if you wrote down everything you did, if you could even remember it, because it's a lot like having a food diary, try to log all your calories at the end of the day and see if you can really remember what you ate. I bet you won't. And so if you try to write down what you did and how much time you spent each time, you won't really get that accurate. And so what we do is we go into a deficit with our time, which is fascinating to me that we can use more time than what we actually have. But we do, because if you line up our calendar doing all the things that we agree to do and say yes to do and plan out our lives to do, it is more than what's actually available to us. And so John and I decided, we're like, wait a minute, if God told us we have to be good stewards, or he wants us to be good stewards so he can bless us, he challenges us to be good stewards so he can bless us, we're like, we're going to start with our time. We didn't have a whole lot of money, so that was easier to start with time when you don't have money. So anyhow, when we started doing that, Caleb, what we realized that was out of all of that time, we were like at 99%, 101%. It's like, this is crazy. So we pulled it back and said, we agree we wanted to have 15% margin. That means we only map 85% of our time that is delegated to something that is actually a controllable margin that we're trying to control. The rest of that has to be there for life. Life comes up, and what happened with me is my mom got really, really sick. And thankfully, I had that margin in my life, because when I had to step in and be her person that was listening to the doctors and be available to travel and go to all these medical procedures that she was having to have, I had it to give to her. And when you come to it and you have all the money but no time, who cares? Right? He asked me a question at the beginning of this year, and I can't remember how you actually put it, but he's like, if we can make twice the money but have half the time to use it, would you want to do it? I was like, heck no. Absolutely not.
She said, if you'll answer this question, I'll talk about it. What's the more for? If you tell me what the more's for, we'll talk about the more. And what we realized, we call it an ideal week, guys. At the beginning of every year, we map 168 hours and try to place, if we're living our very best, what would it look like? And so we do this. We work what we call our five F's: faith, family, fun, fitness, and finance. And we have a sophisticated plan for each one. And what we do is we say, if we're going to use this gift called time, first, we're going to have to honor God with it. In fact, to tell you how, you know, there's things that are left to the sidelines. I think about our time and I think about our body. This body is probably, you wouldn't take $1 billion for yours. Steve Jobs would have given you $1 billion. Anybody in this room, even if you're not in super hot shape, he would have bought it. Well, God's gifted it, and that we are here to steward it in our time. If I ask you, do you honor God with your time? And if you said yes, I would say, show me how. Now, us, we're passionately crazy. And so we document our time. We document our money. I can tell you what I had for what we spent in hair care in the last 20 years. But I'm weird. And you already got that through some of the things you've seen. But I do know this. God showed me in fishes and loaves, there's three things you do. You measure, you manage, God multiplies, right? Measure, manage, multiply. You apply it to anything in your life, and I bet you that thing will grow. You start tracking all your food, and you'll start realizing, oh my gosh, I guess I ought not to eat 3 donuts a day. I mean, you don't believe that you reap what you sow. Put 2 Big Macs in that thing every day and see what happens. You'll be beeping when you back up. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things you got to do, and we're compounding these things throughout our dang life. And what I told Ash, I said, if we don't plant corn and get apples, you're going to get what you plant. And if you don't like what you're reaping, you better talk to the man or woman handling the planting.
So I love your son, Nelson, and Nelson loves both of you. And we're talking today about leading your family. And your son is passionate about not just your family, but working with you. How do you get your family not only to want to be there on the weekend, spending time with you, but also passionate about being in business with you?
I know one thing, it feels like to them, sometimes they strap themselves to the Unabomber. They're like, oh my gosh. And it's this difficulty of working together and living together in these things, and it's roles and responsibilities. We'll share a little, a codified wisdom, but think about this, it's all hats. So if me and Nelson get sideways at work, who had that comment to him? Was it his dad? Was it his boss? Was it a fellow believer? Was it his friend? Well, he doesn't know, and most of the time I don't. And so what you have to learn to do, in my opinion, I love this story. So this man, his son was working with him, working to take over the business. And he'd come in the factory, and he'd holler at the workers and come upstairs. His dad said, son, if you keep doing that, one day I'm going to fire you. You cannot talk to our people that way. Be kind to them. Well, here's his son come through, and he's hollering at him and doing all this stuff, and he comes upstairs. His dad's sitting there with a hat, says boss on it. He said, hey, Dad. He said, you're fired. I'm fired. He said, yeah. Takes the hat off and puts on the hat and says, Dad, and said, heard you lost your job. And this is kind of how it goes sometimes on this hat thing.
So I actually run the companies for us when we're back at home. And a lot of time, both of our boys work for us, by the way. So Nelson is who Caleb has spent most of our time with. He is 29, and he is a force to be reckoned with. He's the most amazing person in the world, and also you want them to be quiet so much sometimes. But and then we have one that's 19. So both of them work for us. And a lot of times when they come into my office and they want to complain about somebody, something, working with someone, you know, I have to really say, okay, I ask them this question. Do you want to speak to me as your mother, or would you like to speak to me as your boss? And remember, one of them can send you home early, and one of them can send you home because you don't come back. And so he's like, we would like our mom, please.
Could we speak to mom?
I love that. And this question does come directly from Nelson. I think it goes really works well on the tail end of that. How do you lead a business where you're submitting to your husband, but you're also his boss?
Oh, this hurts. You know, nobody wants to talk to their old dentist. I thought I was really important until Ash. We had 14 companies at the time, 5 years ago. Ash had been homeschooling 20 years and running the back ends of the companies, all the design and finances and things like that. And she said, what do you want to do after the kids are gone? Because, you know, a lot of ladies end up, their job ends and there's no more availability of that job when the children left. Their purpose in so many ways has changed. And we wanted to be sure Ash had a great transition there. And she said, well, I want to fix all the stuff you messed up. And so she took over all our companies, and guys, I should have got out of the way a lot earlier.
So what it's like is it's a challenge. I believe that I work very hard to be a Proverbs 31 woman, and I believe we have a great responsibility as women to be leaders. I believe if you really read that, I know it was a message from a mom to a son, like, this is the wife you should look for. And we always wanted to read the verse about her worth is greater than rubies. But if you really look at what this woman is doing, she is, I mean, she's unbelievable. I hope to meet her one day. So I try to be like her. John calls me the weakest strong woman. If you saw me up here earlier, I was crying and boohooing. But I'm also the woman that will go on a job site and make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in the most eloquent way, right? However, I see my responsibilities as the leader of our companies so valuable and so important, because from the foundations of earth, women were put here to be a helpmate. We were put here to be a helper with our husbands. And so I submit to John. He is the leader of our home, and ultimately he is the leader of the companies. When God speaks, I believe he speaks to the leader of the home. He speaks to the husband. And so, however, we co-lead together, and as I submit to him, he will submit to me as well. And so we understand each other's giftings. We understand where each one of us need to show up. And everything I do is in order for God to be honored and for him to be honored in the gates. And I'd be dang if I'm going to do anything that's different, that would cause something different than that. So I take it extremely serious. Now, what it feels like at work, that becomes a challenge sometimes, because there's times that John, in his tenacity, will sometimes overstep those bounds and try to overrule decisions. He does that mainly on the job site. So on our construction sites, we have a big development we're doing right now. I'm over all of our design, hospitality, as well as the companies as far as the financial parts. But he loves going and talking to our guys and coming up with these new creative ideas. And so I'll go out there to verify things, and they're like, they're doing, I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, well, John said. So we have a rule that no one's allowed to say John said to me at all.
Get you in trouble.
Because it's like he alters the things that have been decided upon. And so it's a fun little game that we play, obviously. We get a lot of heated fellowship from it. We'd love to talk to you about heated fellowship. We're professionals at it. You do that when you work together like we do. But it's honestly, it's difficult, but it's some of the best difficult work I do. I work out in the gym a lot. I love doing things that cause tension. I like driving fast cars just to see really how fast it can go and how well it can handle. And I absolutely love seeing how far can we really go with what God has given us.
Yeah, you got ahead of me once again. Heated fellowship. I mean, when you think of family, when you think of business, it's hard conversations after hard conversations. And I've heard that someone once said that the success you have is based on the amount of hard conversations you're willing to have. So what does heated fellowship look like in the Marsh home, in the Marsh collective?
Well, it's interesting, guys. You know, we say that before, when we crashed our marriage, what we had, we stuffed everything under the rug until the rug didn't touch the floor anymore, right? And then every conflict we had was not just hysterical, it was historical. And this woman will whip your butt in the historical battle. She'll start back when you first met and bring you to current. Remember when? Remember me? Well, I can't do nothing with that. I don't remember whether it's true or not. I just holler. I didn't know what else to do. But what I realized is we would start heated fellowship over microwave popcorn and end up on your mama and my mama and remember when. And if you're having any fuss that's not today's fuss, you have unforgiveness. If you're in the shower and you're fussing with someone and they're not there and you win, unforgiveness. And most marriages are riddled with nuclear waste in the basement that is ginning up all kinds of problems. And the thing that we most have as a gift today is that we're primarily having today's conflict. And conflict is normal, neutral, and natural. It's what you do with it. And we got to learn as a church. You think about the church and how the world looks at us and sees our marriages. Do you think they want what we got? If they don't want what we got to wonder what we have. And if you want to know what's going on in a man and a husband and wife's life, look at the wife's face. A wife that's loved well looks different. And that's what I want. When people tell me they're godly men, I said, show me your dang wife. Because I'll know whether you're telling me the truth or not, or whether you're painting, you know, because this thing, we're called to love our wives.
Well, and one of the things we do is John and I have worked on doing scheduled heated fellowship, which is fun.
We schedule it. Why not? It happens at the wrong times. I think we got, oh, look, nobody's here. Mama, daddy, time, talk to me. We'll get sideways over something. Her mom and dad show up for dinner or something. I'm like, what is going on here? And we get sideways over little things, expectations, which are unvoiced demands, right, that we didn't communicate. So what we do, one of the most important times of our week is a one-hour meeting where we talk about details, which is integration, and we talk about vision, and we do it every week, and we do that on purpose. It's more important than every business meeting we have combined.
And the reason why we say we have scheduled heated fellowship is because we know that there are going to be conversations that we bring up in that they're challenging. But our place as believers and our place as husband and wife and as company owners and everything we're stewarding over is to work it out. It's not about being right. It's about doing what God has.
You know, with when the guy said, do you know, are you with your kids? Are you more interested in connection or correction? You know, you got to pick. You can either impress people or empower them, but you can't do both. You got to choose. And when I'm talking to her, I take notes when she's talking and we're doing this meeting. because she still says stuff I've never heard before. She's a genius. And I think most husbands never get the genius out of their wives because they got their head stuck in the south of the border. That's a technical term.
One, I love that to tell how a man loves his wife is to look at his wife or just how he's doing, how they're doing. I love that. And that's my prayer for my own wife, that she'd be someone who beams when I'm there. So I know we have some slides that are incredibly helpful, and I want to get to those. And if we could get those queued up,
yeah.
I want to ask you this while they're doing that. What is the scariest prayer you could be praying right now? Because I know God's doing big things in your life, helping couples like Brittany and I, mentoring us when we have marriage things, and you're doing that with lots of other couples. And you've got big things on the horizon with more real estate, more love on your cities and cities all around the United States. And you're the ones who are, you're not just putting love in it. You're putting the people in place. And that's actually one thing that, will thank you for so much is, you're the reason I'm at this conference because you said, Caleb, when God works, he works through people. And that was, I remember the conversation I had with Brittany and I said, I think we need to go to FCCI. And here we are. So back to prayer. What is a scary prayer that you can pray with all that God's doing through your life right now?
Well, the scariest thing that could happen is for God to say yes to everything we're praying for. Because we pray big. Goodness. I would say is that we have success in the dreams that we have for helping couples because it's bigger than what we are. We know it's God's size, but it's so much bigger than what we can comprehend. And we know we need people to be with us that are equipped to serve the other couples. John and I have helped work through challenging relationships, over 200 that we've walked side by side with couples and helped reconcile.
Yeah.
Five this year. We have people in our home, at least 30% of the year, someone is staying in our home with us that is a married couple, and it's the last moment they have. It's the last piece of hope. It's their last hurrah that they're trying.
Most of them have said, we don't love each other anymore. We've given up. And again, by God's grace, reconciled over 200 broken marriages through our time, just sharing what we found along the way. But then five marriages this year. And the great thing about it, those couple of those young men and ladies run billion-dollar companies, so there are thousands of employees that are going to receive what the benefit of a loving husband and wife. And I'd say my number one prayer that would take tremendous boldness is, God, treat me like I treat her. Mm-hmm. That'll get you thinking.
Amen. Amen. I believe we have some slides. Is you got the clicker? You want to jump in here? Because I want to.
All right, technical guys. I'll show you guys. This is going to be fast. We just want to add value. We don't want to just get you excited and not add value. We're not motivational preachers. We're motivational teachers. I'm trying to get you excited. And my number one thing would be, is there anything we could do that would get you to live different daily? Because if I wanted to know where you're going to end up, I'd just look at your daily disciplines and multiply that thing, and that's where you're going to end up. So here we go. One thing we realize, these are three, and we've got tons of these, but we work to codify. Number one is that Ash is a make the decision, and I'm an options open. You'll see this in a sec. Number two, that in our marriage, if we don't have vision, we have division. And division's two visions, okay? And number three is we wear a lot of hats, and we don't know what role we're playing a lot. So here's this options open, make the decision thing. So I'm an options open guy. I love keeping my options open. Give an example. We were in Italy at this place, and they had some pizza left over, and we're getting ready to leave. And she said, baby, you want this pizza? I said, just leave it over there. I may want some before we go. Well, she goes a little while. Then she comes back, and her face is more red, and she's kind of upset. Do you want the pizza? I'm like, I don't know. Leave it right there. I may want some. And I didn't read all the details, of course, that you got to separate the trash by category and this and that. We had to be out with it. Details were not in the thing. I just talked about pizza. Well, she's getting upset. And what I realize is I want to keep my options open as long as possible. Oh, almost made a decision, didn't. Oh, airfare shows up really, really big. She's like, can I book these tickets? Well, I don't know. I may want to stop off and see somebody. I think London's on the way to Italy. She doesn't. There's all these things. And she's just like, make the dang decision. And I'm like, is there a deadline? So that's how we work, is I work in this sense of just, I'm going peace, concern. Oh, I'm at peace. Let's do it. She doesn't work that way.
No, I'm like, please give me all the information and then I'll make a decision. It's so simple. So that day in Italy, it actually caused heated fellowship before we got on the plane, but it wasn't about the pizza. You ever seen the video? It's not about the nail.
Yes.
It's like it wasn't about the pizza. It's like, I could care less about the pizza. We got to get our things in the car and get out of here, dude. We got to drive 3 hours to the airport. What are you doing? So anyhow, we have these kind of conversations every day.
Right. So there's different kinds of people. These are on your teams. The people that wait to the last minute and get their very best out of that excitement of diving catches. Like when I do a diving catch, I'm like, yes, stand up. That was awesome. Ashley's like, why do you wait to the last minute? Next one, the power of vision and dive vision. Here's the thing. We always ask couples, well, if you want something simple, we'll say, let's say you had $10, $10,000, $10 million left at the end of the year. Husband, what's the top three things you're going to spend it on or invest it in? Wife, what's the same? We never get the same answers. And this is simple, guys. This is money. Imagine how complex it gets when you talk about other areas of life. So understand, either you have a vision or you have division, multiple visions. And God says this. He says that, without vision, people perish. Marriages perish. Companies perish. I encourage you to get a vision, a clarity of vision. I love what our buddy Dan said about the one word. That's one of the ways we get a vision. We pick one word for our year. And so it's big. This roles thing, this hats thing, what hat are you wearing? At any given time, I can be talking to Ash as her husband, as a fellow believer, as her partner, and then sometimes as like her aggravator. And she don't know which one said that word. And so what we have to do, even with my father-in-law, one time my father-in-law was, we went to church together, we were friends, he's Ash's dad, he's our grandkid's grandpa, he's my friend, and he works for us. And we would get the hats scrambled all the time. I mean, it's like we're spinning hats, click, lots of hats. I'm just saying, whenever you're dealing with people, especially in your family, what we do now is, son, can I talk to you as a coworker? Can I have a conversation with you as your dad? Would you let me share with you something? Like this morning, we did a Bible study and the subject was on sex. And my son said, he said, I took it as long as I could till I was red as a cherry tomato. Listen to you and your 83-year-old mentor talk about what the Bible has to say about sex. And so he took it as long as he could and bailed. I said, it's all right. That was your dad talking and we can come back around later as another hat. So anyway, hats matter, personal and professional. And the more relationship, the more roles in relationship, the more tension and confusion. It's difficult. And then the last thing, so we want to tell y'all how we get unblurry and unmessy. Now, you're going to think at any moment, these guys are geniuses. Then you're going to think, oh my goodness, they're idiots. We're neither. We're in between, right? So these are the tools we've created over 25 years, and we're not detailed people always, but one thing we do is that a part of our five F's is this one word focus, like our buddy said. And our word last year was unity. And this is Psalms 133, that place, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. For there, what's there, unity is where God commands his blessing. And so Ash and I was convinced anywhere we get in unity, lay both our hands on it and say amen, it's got all the power that raised Christ from the dead when we're lined up with God, me and her. And so we work hard to get lined up, guys. And we spend one day where we had kind of the state of the family. We tried to do all of our fussing, heated fellowship we're going to do, in one day with adult supervision.
That's the big, state of the union fighting. That's the you want to bring what's worth fighting for.
Right,
one of the things that we decided also is that when we make a decision together, it is the decision. And it's our decision. It is not, you decided this, or if you wouldn't have done that, we never bring that back.
I try to do it sometimes. I said, that was mine. I messed that one up. She's like, nope, that's us. I think, nah, that's me. She's like, nope, that's us. Man, it feels good to have somebody with you, right? And then we believe these faith, family, fun, fitness, and finance, this is our five areas that we believe we've got to have clarity. You need a good plan. And we can share more about this. We've got a tool that we're going to give y'all access to that's free on our website. We do this, and guys, this is if I could only recommend a couple of things, one is this half a dozen things. And what this is we take faith, family, fun, fitness, and finance and list a half a dozen things that we believe about that right now. And so, Ash, like, I believe that God has a plan for me. I believe that a God's woman is in a season of her life where wife, mother, and friend. Ash asked God, "What do you want from me?" He said, "I want you to be a daughter of the king, a wife to your husband, and a mother to your children." And she said, "Job ain't in the top three." Did you get that? So you got to figure out what one another believe, because we believe and then we behave. Right? The church kind of has scrambled the eggs a little bit. Hey, I tell you what, if you believe like we believe and belong like we, if you believe like we believe and behave like we behave, we'll let you belong. Jesus, woman at the well, you belong. She believed and her behavior changed. And I'm just telling you, belonging and believing are powerful. And so there's a couple's assessment on there, guys. If you codify things, it changes everything. Imagine this. How would you rate our relationship with our in-laws or with our kids? 1 to 10. 2s are not good for the geniuses. You want the big numbers on there. And so we give you this free access. You can go to, we got a QR code here, and you can get to this assessment, and it'll give you a codified numbers. You'll say in faith, in family, in fun, in fitness, and finance, here's our numbers. Anything 70 or less, we believe you're not flourishing, you're perishing.
Highly encourage everyone to get that. I would put the QR code on there now, John.
And I wanted to tell you lastly, guys, our next move is really, we believe, Ash's definition of hospitality. I thought of you before you got here. We're building the boutique, kind of diffused hospitality in small towns to save small towns. And we'd like to see 100 small towns saved in the next 10 years. That's way more than we can do. We're doing our work in our town, but we believe that God's got to move. And I believe he's going to be the God that, what if the next great move of God is developers? What if they're one of the great things that people see God's hand in? People working at the intersection of purpose and profits, making their Sunday school teacher and their economics teacher happy. If we do that, guys, the world won't know what to do.
Well, my thanks to John and Ashley Marsh and our conference MC, Caleb Brakey, for that incredible insight and perspective on balancing business and family priorities. We'll enjoy more conversation with Christian business leaders just like you on our next episode, so be sure to let others know about the Pathway to Purpose podcast. And do check out FCCI.org and all the ways that the Fellowship of Companies for Christ can serve you. Until next time, may God encourage your journey as you lead a company for Christ.